This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and of course, if you're out there in the listening audience, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And ordinarily, I would tell you to hold your calls, but our regularly scheduled guest today, Jane Chastain, we haven't been able to reach her. And so we'll tell you what she was going to talk about. And, of course, we will welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because this is going to be an open line program. But Jane, I'd done an interview with her earlier this week. And, of course, she has been up in Seattle at a trial, a very, very important trial, which, of course, you're not hearing about it here in the regular media because, of course, you're not supposed to hear about it. But there was a Lieutenant Jack Daly, and it was, I think, about 1997, somewhere in there, that he was assigned to a Canadian helicopter. He was an American naval officer. His wife had come from a naval family. He was a career naval officer. And there was a Soviet ship that was coming into the Straits of Juan de Fuca, which is that strip of water that separates the Olympic Peninsula of northern Washington from Vancouver Island. And, of course, these ships are in American waters, and, of course, we have many, many naval facilities there. We have a large submarine base, nuclear submarine base in that area. And we're always concerned about Soviet ships coming into American waters, and, of course, they're really under American control at this point. So the helicopter was observing the ship when, of course, the people on board the ship flashed a laser at the helicopter and blinded both Lieutenant Jack Daly and the Canadian helicopter pilot. Now, of course, the use of laser to blind your opponent is against all international rules and regulations. Jack Daly immediately noticed severe pain, as did the Canadian officer, and there was no question at all that they had used a laser on them, and of course they took pictures, and they actually had the pictures showed the laser being used as a weapon, an illegal weapon, by a Soviet ship and the people on that Soviet ship, on American naval officer and a Canadian naval officer. So they returned to their base. They reported what had happened. Lieutenant Davis was partially blinded by this, as was the Canadian officer who was piloting the plane. But of course, the American Navy said, we're going to search that ship as it comes into port. But the State Department insisted that they have a certain amount of time, because, of course, we wouldn't want any sort of an incident with our good friends, the Soviets. And so it was that they gave them, I think, 24 hours before the Navy was allowed to search the ship. And, of course, the Naval, which wasn't allowed to search the whole ship. There were only certain parts of the ship they could search. And what do you know? They just didn't find the laser weapon that had been used on the American military personnel. Well, of course, Lieutenant Daly was then seen by local doctors. He was shipped down to a naval center where the doctors there recognized the damage done to him by the laser weapons. And, of course, the same thing happened with the Canadian officer as well. Both of them have had a permanent disability as a result of this. Canadian officer has had to give up flying because of the damage done to his eyes by the use of the Lieutenant Daly, of course, has daily pain, has lost considerable vision, and, of course, he wanted to have this brought out. After all, here's an incident where the Soviets, the communists, have attacked, you know, our men. But, of course, our government didn't want that, and orders were then put out to say this wasn't really a laser. There was no damage done to Lieutenant Daly, and, of course, he had no right to redress. They wanted to get him out of the Navy, and only because of Senator Bob Smith and Senator Helms did they actually prevent Lieutenant Daley from being forced out of the military and losing his career. Of course, he was passed over for promotion because he made an incident out of being permanently damaged by the communists. But you must understand that since the inception of communism, the people who've controlled our government have always really favored communism. In fact, you go into the background of communism, you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and I simply point out there that when Lenin first came to power, and there was a man there named Bruce Lockhart who had been sent to Russia by Lord Milner, who was part of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes had created to bring about world government. Why, Bruce Lockhart, in his book, The Secret Agent, tells how Lenin was just so subservient to both he and, of course, a representative of the Federal Reserve Bank, and I think his name is William Boyce Thompson. You can get the book, and we actually quote from it extensively in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We have the book, A Secret Agent. And, of course, then you get Professor Sutton's material, and you find out that the United States financed the Soviet Union, our banks financed the Soviet Union, our major oil companies financed the Soviet Union. Henry Ford built the motor plant at Gorky to put Russia on wheels. And ever since then, why, we have financed and lent money to Russia just exactly as we're doing it today, and with communist China. If you read, as I do, you know, a regular, the Wall Street Journal, I mean, here we're giving massive amounts of money to North Korea, and we're giving them all sorts of fuel oil to keep this faltering economy from simply falling apart, and we're lending them money and giving them money to build a nuclear power plant as long as they promise not to build any intercontinental ballistic missiles, and they've been doing it all along. And not only that, but they've been helped by Pakistan. That's the latest information. And who's financing Pakistan? We are. And who's financing North Korea? We are. And they violated their promises. Can you imagine that? And, of course, the same thing is true as far as the communists in China. We find out that we've investing massive amounts of money over there, and we've shipped most of our industrial production over to China, but primarily to China. And yet, of course, they are in full military production for war. Why would we build up our enemies? Well, you have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government. In a similar manner as we financed the Taliban. Oh, you didn't know we financed the Taliban? Well, you need to get my latest newsletter. But right now, I want to just mention, if you're out there in the listening audience and you do not subscribe to my Radio Liberty newsletter, or you are not a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you really should be, because we need your help. 5 hours every day, we're talking to people by the miracle of shortwave or the internet or satellite or radio. We're on radio 5 hours a day. Our weekend programs are heard on over 40 stations. But quite frankly, we need your help to do what we do. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, we'll go into the background and where you can document that we have financed the Taliban. Oh, these wicked Taliban. And we financed them. We financed Osama bin Laden. For many years, we financed this whole Islamic movement, and you can read this in books written long before the September 11th attack. But you're not supposed to understand that, because we're at war with terrorism, aren't we? Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you a free copy of my latest newsletter. And, of course, we hope that you'll give serious consideration to subscribing or to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then I simply want to mention that, of course, the Be Alive Royal Jelly products really will help you as far as your energy level is concerned. And I've taken Be Alive for, I think, about 10 years. We're trying to decide how long we've been on it. It's what the queen bee eats in the hive, and they've made a product that is readily available for you at a reasonable price. And we, of course, we didn't solicit them. They asked if they could sponsor us for a month, and so I said, great, call them at 866-237-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500, and get the information about Be Alive Royal Jelly products. Use them for 3 months. If you're not satisfied, they'll give you your money back if it doesn't increase your energy level. Call right now. Mm-hmm. We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma, What Really Happened. And of course, it consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, What Really Happened. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and that video is actually entitled The Cover-Up in Oklahoma City. We don't have Oklahoma City, What Really Happened, but Cover-Up in Oklahoma City is amazing. In fact, we even have an Oklahoma City special. Why is that important? Well, because, of course, they covered up the Islamic involvement. There was an Islamic cell there, was working with Timothy McVeigh, and Terry Nichols had actually been over to the Philippines starting in 1991. He was there in 1994, meeting with Ramzi Yosef, who was the man who planned the first bombing of the World Trade Center, and a man named Murad, and really this whole background is covered beautifully in an interview we did the other night with Mr. Bickle, Bob Bickle, who is employed by an attorney to investigate the relationship between the Oklahoma City bombing and Iraq, and of course bringing a lawsuit against Iraq by the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing. But the government's covering that up. Why? Because they don't want the American people to know that the Islamic people and Osama bin Laden were involved in the attack on the Murrah Building, because, of course, then people would say, well, why didn't you do something about it at that time? Well, if they'd done something about that time, we wouldn't have had September 11th, and now we would not be going to war. You really need to get the information, and it's all available through Radio Liberty, through much of the information that we have. And you get my newsletters down off the Internet, you'll begin to see this whole pattern of how, of course, the Oklahoma City bombing was tied into the Philippines. It was tied into the Islamic terrorists, and there was an Islamic terrorist cell in Oklahoma City, and that was where John Doe 2 and John Doe 3 and John Doe 4 were involved. And, of course, the government is still covering up, because to this very day, they will not release the videos that were shot in front of the Murrah Building on the day of the bombing. Why? Well, it's national security. And I simply ask, is it that we don't want Timothy McVeigh to know what was in the pictures? We don't want Terry Nichols to know? We don't want Osama bin Laden to know? Or we don't want the American people to know? And that's what it's all about. I'm here to not understand how this whole thing fits together and how we've been covering for the Islamic terrorists for many, many, many years. And the same thing is true with CW 800. We covered up the fact that that, of course, was was not an explosion in the central fuel tank. We've covered up the fact that the Islamic radicals took full credit for it. And if you don't believe that, the book Bin Laden, The Man Who Declared War Against America, goes into the fact that the Islamic radicals said, we blew up TW-800, and that's covered in a book called Bin Laden, The Man Who Declared War Against America, which we carry, written by Yosef Badansky, one of the most well-informed people on Islamic radicalism in the nation today. And, of course, Yosef Badansky is the director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare. And, of course, he knows what this is all about. His book, of course, you will not hear quoted very often, because how disconcerting of to be to know that there was an organized effort in our government to lie to the American people. Now, what does that have to do with Lieutenant Jack Daly, now Lieutenant Colonel Jack Daly, because Jesse Helms and Bob Smith brought so much pressure on the Navy and on the government that they actually gave him a permission. But he's been assigned to a desk, and, of course, he's simply has to sit there. He knows his career in the Navy is over. Why? Well, first of all, he was damaged, and secondly, he complained about the cover-up of the Soviet involvement. Now, why is all this important? Why? Because this last week and 2 weeks up in the city of Seattle, there's been a trial where, of course, Jack Daly and is being represented by Judicial Watch and Larry Klayman and, of course, Jane Chastain, who's on has a radio program in Southern California and is now working with Larry Klayman, doing a daily radio program for Judicial Watch on the USA Network. They were up there, and of course this trial, of course what was so significant about it, is our government was, of course, lying to conceal the truth about what this was all about, and they were covering for the Soviets. And they had actually come up with experts, American experts, who said, oh, no, there was no laser damage at all. Commander Daly, Lieutenant Commander Daly, has writer's disease, and that's what had happened. And, of course, fortunately, Larry Klayman was able to bring in the Navy's own expert who said, no, this was laser burns. I mean, these were obviously laser burns. And then our government, working with the Soviets, had doctored the films to show that it wasn't a laser at all, and they had actually distorted the films. Fortunately, Lieutenant Commander Daly had copies of the original film, and of course they were able to show what had really happened. And it's going to be very interesting to see whether the trial believes the United States attorney, who is representing the Soviet Union in this, or whether, of course, they will believe Larry Klayman and Lieutenant Commander Daly. And, of course, they've lost everything. They've lost all of their savings trying to get some justice. And isn't it amazing how our government covers for the communists? They've always covered for the communists, and people don't understand. When we sent our boys to Korea to fight, we weren't fighting communism. Our leaders were working with the communists. If you don't believe that, you need to get the book Reminiscences. Is written by General Douglas MacArthur. And he will tell you how during the Korean War, the 7th Fleet was placed between Formosa, or Taiwan, and the mainland, not to protect Taiwan from the communists, but to protect the communists from the forces on Formosa, so that then the communists could move a million-man army off of their coast, up into Manchuria, to attack and kill American boys in Korea. Read the book and find out the facts, how General MacArthur was never allowed to fight the war. He was never allowed to bomb Manchuria, to stop the supplies from coming in that were being used to kill the American boys. And he quotes General Lin Piao, the commander of the Chinese Red Army that killed so many boys in Korea, and, of course, quoted him as saying, I would never have risked my troops and my military reputation and crossed the Yalu if I'd not been guaranteed that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from retaliating against my men and my forces. You can get the book, or it's all quoted in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, but what you really need to get is the original source material and find out how we actually brought about the Korean War, by making public statements that if North Korea attacked South Korea, we would not enter the war. South Korea was out of our line of defense, our periphery of defense, and we invited the attack. And then, of course, once the attack came, and now we had plunged ourselves and America into a war. And all those boys who died there, they didn't die defending communism. This was simply to detract American attention away from the fact that many people believed that we had communists working at the highest levels of our government, because we'd turned Eastern Europe and communist China, or China over to the communists at the end of the Second World War, that we supposedly fought for freedom. And, of course, but then how could anybody say that when we went into a phony no-win war in Korea? Well, that war is still going on today, and Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly is a victim of that war, and we finally have Jane Chastain on the line. Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Monteith. I so apologize for being late. We had a little fire emergency, and they wouldn't let us up in the elevators in the hotel to get to you.
All right, I understand that.
I have to report very sad news, for us at least, in that the verdict came in just a little bit ago, and we lost our case for Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly. But there was some high drama in the last day that I wanted to tell you about that I think you will appreciate.
Fine,
and
please.
In fact, I also have Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly standing by to speak with you personally.
Oh, wonderful. Well, how could the jury, did they believe the people working for our government, the distorted evidence, the phony doctors that they brought in? Or why did the jury come in with a not guilty verdict? And why was our government protecting the communists?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, Dr. Monteith, that we are going to appeal the case. But here was the basic problem. We searched the Capitan Man, and as pitiful as that search was, we almost looked like the gang that can't shoot straight. The ship was in port for 3 days after the Lazing incident. No one watched the ship or the crew. Our State Department gave the Russian government a 24-hour heads-up, we now know, on the search. So no one was watching the ship. They had ample time to dispose of the laser. And, in fact, there was another Russian ship in port that they certainly could have conspired with. And worst comes to worst, they could have simply dropped it overboard. But here is the real problem, and that is that the defense for the Far Eastern Shipping Company was based on our report from the Office of Naval Intelligence that covered up this fiasco. So you had not only not the absence of a laser when the search was conducted, but you had a report from the Office of Naval Intelligence that whitewashed the whole thing. Now, you had the very real evidence of the eyes of Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly and the pilot of his helicopter, Captain Pat Barnes. These men's eyes were irreparably damaged, and the medical experts said it was from a laser, and it happened while Jack was taking the photographs of the Capitan Man.
Yeah, but of course our government high officials don't want any sort of an embarrassment for our good friends, the communist butchers who've killed 60 million people, consolidating their power.
Yes, but as a last...
We're going to have to interrupt you there, Jane. We're going to take a quick break.
And
when we get back, of course, we'll have not only Jane, but Lieutenant Commander Daly with us. But right now, of course, I just want to mention some of the items we carry. Of course, we sell the Miracle 2 soap products, and we do that to help finance what we do. And if you'd like to try them, we make no medical claims for them, although many of our listeners say that it's really been very helpful for them. But the Miracle 2 soap products are available as a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and, of course, a neutralizer, which people take. And if you'd like more information, we'll be glad to send it to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And then, of course, we carry the Phenopoly program. It's basically a program that will allow children to begin to learn to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And actually, of course, if you have your children in government schools, they're not learning to read and read properly, and their brains are not functioning properly. If you get Phenopoly in a period of about 16 to 20 hours, most children can learn to read and read normally. In fact, after 16 to 20 hours, they'll read as well as most college graduates who have never taken the course. So Phenopoly is an excellent gift for Christmas. We also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, and that'll take your children from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for the Miracle 2 soap products or information on them, Phenopoly, and, of course, the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. You won't be sorry if you do. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Lieutenant Commander Jack Bailey on the line. But right now, Jane, why don't you just sort of finish the story of how the trial was found against you? But wasn't it really the fact that the United States Attorney's Office was there representing and working with the Soviet representative?
Yes, the assistant U.S. attorney was there on the side of the Russians, as were representatives of the Office of Naval Intelligence. And Commander Cayley can tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment, but I will tell you that we worked very hard to get Senator Bob Smith of New Hampshire, who sits on the Armed Services Committee, here to the trial to testify for Jack. There is no one in the United States Senate that worked any harder for Commander Jack Daly, with the possible exception of Jesse Helms, who fought to get him his next commission and to keep him from being drummed out of the Navy. But Senator Bob Smith wrote many letters to the Office of Naval Intelligence trying to get some answers about those photographs that were obviously altered in order to prove that no lazing incident took place. And Bob Smith flew 3,000 miles out here to Seattle to testify for Jack as a rebuttal witness to the report turned in by the Office of Naval Intelligence, of which the owners of the Capitan Man based their entire defense, and the judge would not allow United States Senator who sits on the Armed Services Committee to testify.
How did the judge justify not allowing it?
His testimony was irrelevant.
How could he make that statement when he hadn't even heard the testimony?
Well,
it sounds to me like this was a pretty much a slam dunk cover up, like so many of the things that they don't want brought out, and they certainly don't want the truth brought out here in America. Because how embarrassing it would be to realize all our boys died fighting communism when our government was helping it all the time.
Well, I can tell you that the judge was in a big hurry to get the trial over with. He had given each side strict time limits, but we saved a little time for Senator Smith, and I personally picked him up at the airport and rushed him to the courtroom, and at that moment, the judge was ending the trial. Larry Klayman, the General Legal Counsel for Judicial Watch, had made two passionate appeals for the judge to allow Senator Smith to be one of our rebuttal witnesses, and he was turned down both times.
Well, so won't that be a basis for your appeal?
It certainly will be one of the bases for the appeal, absolutely. And when the media, who happened to be in attendance, we had both reporters from the Seattle Times and from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer there, and after hearing Larry Klayman's appeal to the judge not once but twice for Senator Smith, and then walking out and seeing Senator Smith standing there, a United States Senator who had just flown 3,000 miles to rebut the Office of Naval Intelligence, the media was very interested in talking to Senator Smith.
All right, now, was that the Seattle newspapers or what?
Yes, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer is probably the number one paper, and the Seattle Times was also in attendance.
All right, fine. Well, we're just starting a program up in Seattle. We'll have to get you and Lieutenant Commander Daly on that program. But right now, Commander, how do you feel about this? Do you feel that there was a definite effort to keep all the facts from being brought to the jury?
Well, to put it in Navy terminology, it's another torpedo in my side, but I'm still underway and still ready to fight and capable of fighting. There were some questionable decisions that were made. There were some questionable events that took place throughout the last 10 days of the actual trial period. The fact that, as Jane mentioned, the assistant U.S. attorney that was out here from Seattle representing the Navy during the trial to make sure there were no inadvertent disclosures of classified material or information. I spoke to him the second morning of the trial, and he flat out told me when I asked if he had reviewed any of the declassified documents that had been released in this case, and he said no. And although I didn't challenge him there because it wasn't my place, I could only think, well, how is he qualified to sit here and determine what can be said and what can't when he doesn't even know what the heck the information is.
But of course, the thing is, it's a cover-up. And we
don't, absolutely.
We do not want to embarrass our good friends, the communists. And people say, well, communism is dead. But isn't it interesting that every leader of one of the new independent states just happens to be an ex-communist, and the premier, who Putin, who, of course, our president looked into his eyes and he could tell he was an honest man, was a colonel in the KGB, a lifelong communist, and he's now our good friend. We wouldn't want to embarrass our good friends, would we?
Well, the thing that President Bush didn't see when he looked into his eyes and saw his soul was his black heart.
Amen to that. Well, of course,
he's still KGB. He's always going to be KGB.
And communism is not dead, contrary to, of course, what they've convince the American people, but then they can convince the American people of almost anything by repetition and the use of television and movies. Lieutenant Commander Daly, what sort of trouble do you have as far as the residual of this laser attack?
Well, the primary difficulty for both Captain Barnes and I is the constant pain that's been unrelenting for over 5.5 years now. Some vision problems, visual acuity problems, that wax and wane, although sometimes they're very slight. The pain is primarily the key detriment to my physical health and well-being, because I just haven't had any relief, not a moment's relief, despite all the therapies and medications I've been on. I was even on morphine for back surgery, and although it helped the back pain after surgery, it didn't do a thing for my eyes.
Well, now, what about the Canadian officer? Didn't he have to give up flying as a result of this?
Yes. Captain Patrick Barnes, the Canadian Air Force, was the helicopter pilot that day. And Pat and I didn't know each other from Adam. We had only met maybe an hour before for a pre-brief and of the flight, and then we spoke for maybe an hour afterwards in a debrief of the flight. His injuries, because of the constant pain and the pain medications he was on, it did in fact end his flying career.
Is he still in the Navy? Didn't he get a permanent disability from the Canadians?
Yeah, the Canadian Air Force discharged him back in October of this past year, and gave him a 15% disability compensation for his laser eye injuries.
But of course, what about you? Is the Navy admit that you have a disability?
No, the United States Navy, no doctor in the United States Navy has ever acknowledged that I have any laser eye injuries. The only doctor that has acknowledged that within the U.S. military was a U.S. Air Force doctor, Dr. David Scales, who went into private practice shortly after making this diagnosis, because some of the retribution that he had to undergo after making that decision.
Well, now, I'd really like to cover that. Here's a naval ophthalmologist. I suppose he's regular Navy. And, of course, he says you've had a permanent injury. And, of course, they take action against him to harass him for telling the truth.
Well, just a minor correction. He was in the United States Air Force.
Oh, I'm sorry, Air Force, right.
The retaliation was subtle. It just became to be nonsense, as far as Dave has put it, that he didn't want to deal with this kind of nonsense anymore, and he left the Air Force and went into private practice in San Antonio.
But was he told in one way or another that they really didn't want him to come up with a statement that you had any sort of an injury?
I think what happened was the Navy's first mistake was sending us down there to be evaluated to begin with. And then when it turned out that the evaluation found evidence of a laser injury for both Pat Barnes and I, that it was too late. Now they had to scramble. And as far as Dave Scales was personally affected, it was just, for lack of a better term, it wasn't the politically correct thing to do.
In other words, the last thing we want is for the American people to realize that the communists are not really our friends.
Well, that's... I'm afraid it's a naive attitude that has proven in the past and will prove again to be our Achilles heel.
Well, naive or diabolical, say what you will. But the fact that the military will not stand behind one of its own officers, that's what's really so frightening. I mean, ordinarily you anticipate that you're willing to get out there and you're willing to die for your country. But when the leaders of the country won't even make any accommodation for a dedicated military officer, why, you begin wondering. And your wife's name was Kimmel, wasn't it, a maiden name?
Yes, it was.
What was her relationship to Admiral Kimmel, who was sold out by the military leaders? He was the commander at Pearl Harbor. What was his relationship to him?
To go down the genealogy, I think my memory doesn't serve me well at this moment, but there was some distance between my wife and Admiral Kimmel, although there was family connections along the bloodline there.
And, of course, they set up Admiral Kimmel to try to make him the fall guy for Pearl Harbor, whereas actually, of course, the president, his cabinet, all knew what was happening. They knew where the fleet was. They tracked it across the Pacific. They left the boys to die at Pearl Harbor because we needed an incident to rally the people against the wicked Japanese. We don't need an incident to rally the people against the wicked Soviets because they're our good friends now. And, of course, our president looked into Putin's eyes and he could see his soul, and it was so pure that, and so we can't have anything that would alarm the American people.
That's true. And as you know, this all took place under the Clinton administration. The fact that there were secret deals going on between Bill Clinton and Boris Yeltsin and Al Gore and Victor Chernomyrdin have come out over the last few years. And the fact of the matter is that in 1992, under the George Bush Sr.'s administration, that the ports were opened to Russian ships. So there was some type of a trade-off there to allow these vessels into our waters and into strategic waters. Our ballistic missile submarines are the only leg left of the strategic nuclear deterrent triad.
And, of course, they're dismantling many of our ABMs, and, of course, they've done away with the B-52s and the planes we always had in the air. And so America is increasingly vulnerable. And, of course, weren't you concerned? Weren't the reason that you were there is because we have the ballistic missile submarines there in Puget Sound?
Yes, it was. And the fact of the matter is that we've done away with those other two legs of the triad, and our ballistic submarines are the only thing left. And the Russians are still paranoid. They're as paranoid as ever, if not more so than the Soviet Union was, that the United States would be the one to launch a first strike. And they are going to do everything possible, legal and illegal, to know where those submarines are at all times.
Or maybe if they were going to have a first strike, why they would want to know where they were. We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest here. That's Jane Chastain and, of course, Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly. But right now, of course, I need to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there across America listening to us, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every day, and then we do our programs on Saturday as well. And so if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, just give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is, of course, reach out across America with the information you're not going to get elsewhere. I mean, you're not going to get this from the establishment newscasters or from the anchors on television. We're going to try to bring you the truth about what's going on and the fact that behind everything are spiritual forces, because you can't understand anything I've said today or anything that's going on unless you understand the spiritual forces that dominate the world. And that's beautifully covered in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or in the video by the same name, or you can get the video, the book, and the audio tape for a special. We call it the Brotherhood of Darkness Special, $29.95. But, of course, please go to our website at radioliberty.com, pull down our newsletters, which will explain how this all fits together. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, as I said earlier, and this is the September newsletter, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you haven't had a newsletter before, we'll send you a free copy of the latest one. Tell others about our program and about our website, radioliberty.com. A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, Dr. Stan, and on the line we have with us Jane Chastain, who is really one of the finest radio talk show hosts in the country. She does a program now on the USA Radio Network, and she's just been up at the trial there in Seattle for the last week. And, of course, on the line with us as well is Lieutenant Commander Jack Daly, and talking about, of course, his permanent injury. And really, of course, they've let you know that you have no career in the Navy, haven't they?
Well, the Navy attempted twice to pass me over for promotion to Lieutenant Commander, and thanks to Senator Jesse Helms from North Carolina, his assistance and his very pointed letter to then-Secretary of Defense Bill Cohen suddenly gave the office, or the U.S. Navy, a change of heart, as well as the fact that a Navy Inspector General investigation that I had requested found out that the Office of Naval Intelligence had retaliated against me by giving me an extremely poor fitness report when I left the command in Canada. So essentially they wanted to, when I was ordered to shut up and forget about this and get on with life, I wouldn't do that, so they took the next step in the process, and that was to try and drum me out as best they could.
Well, did they actually tell you that you should be quiet and just forget about the whole thing, or what?
Oh, absolutely. I was told that on more than one occasion by senior officers within the Office of Naval Intelligence that, hey, you know, you've got work to do up here, so forget about it and get on with things.
But, you know, something that Jack Daly has brought out before, Dr. Monteith, is that if the Office of Naval Intelligence had just come to him and said, look, Jack, there is a security issue that's at stake here, and had explained the issue, or at least indicated that that was the case, Jack has said again and again, I would have just saluted and said, yes, sir, and gone on with my duties.
Well, Jane's correct, Doctor, and the fact of the matter is this was a national security issue, and if the Office of Naval Intelligence or if the Navy had come to me and said, there is a bigger issue at stake here, we are going to take care of you, but we are not going to make a stink about this, I could have accepted that for the greater good and for the country. But when I saw that there was a cover-up that was painfully evident to me from the very beginning. I mean, the search of the ship didn't begin until approximately 5:30 p.m. here out in the Pacific. I got a call, my Canadian supervisor that I was working for, got a call at that very same time saying that the boarding and search was over. And as the facts in this case have proven, the boarding and search didn't even get started until about that time. So that was, that was abhorrent that they would tell us that it was over and done with and nothing was found before it even got started. As I say, this was a confederacy of incompetence.
Or was it an obvious cover-up from the very beginning, do you think?
Well, it was an obvious cover-up, but they made so many mistakes in it that they didn't do a very good job of the cover-up.
But didn't they actually falsify some of the pictures that were shown there at the trial? They were different pictures than the pictures you actually took? What was that about?
Yes, they did. The picture that I took that indicated to my imagery analyst, Chief Petty Officer Scott Tabor at that time, now Warrant Officer Tabor, indicated that there may have been a laser emission from the ship, and it was upon him coming into my office after doing a very detailed scrutinous analysis of all the photos I took. He was watching me rubbing my eye like crazy, At one point, he said, "Well, that's enough." And I have to. He asked me the question, "Are you having problems with your eyes?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Are you having a headache?" I said, "Yes." At that point, my confirmation of those two questions, or affirmation of those two questions, at that point, he handed me the picture and said, "I believe you caught a laser beam from what I have here, what I've seen on all the photos, and what you've just told me." So the Office of Naval Intelligence, when they did their so-called investigation report, and the Office of Naval Intelligence isn't even sanctioned to do investigations, number one, they released this report to the public and to Congress with this doctored photo in it. They took software, probably Adobe Photoshop as best we can tell, and they went in and did numerous manipulations within the digital image so that it would look like something that it wasn't.
Isn't that dishonest?
It's criminal. It is absolutely criminal. That is tampering with the evidence of a crime.
But, of course, when the government does it, who do you report it to? That's the thing. And are you going to report it to the Office of National Intelligence or whom?
What's
really so disconcerting is the fact that the U.S. Attorney's Office, under the Bush administration, is going right along with the cover-up that was carried out during the Clinton administration. It almost makes you feel that there's not a lot of difference.
Well, every time I think this case has gotten bizarre, something happens that makes it even more bizarre.
Why don't you just forget the whole thing and go on with your career?
I can't do that. I took an oath to the people of this country to protect and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And it's all I have left. My credibility has been shot thanks to the Navy Office of Naval Intelligence. My integrity has been questioned over and over again. This trial has proven that there was a cover-up. The jury didn't say, well, there was enough proof to decide that Fesco did, in fact, fire a laser from the ship, but it did prove that there was a cover-up.
Do you think that the jurors really sensed what this was all about? Did they have any idea that the judge was not allowing the evidence to be presented, or were they privy to this?
The jury was not privy to each and every decision that Judge Kuhnauer made. There are obvious
reasons for
that.
As far as we know, Dr. Monteith, they did not know that Senator Smith had flown in from Washington to basically testify to the fact that that this thing was being swept under the rug. So they were looking at the Office of Naval Intelligence as the higher authority here, but a United States senator, of course, is the people's representative, the highest authority. He sat on the appropriate committee to get the answers, and he was stonewalled. And yet the jury, as far as we know, did not know that Senator Smith had flown 3,000 miles to testify to that fact before it made its verdict.
You know, there is, unfortunately, sort of an attitude on many people's part, well, the government couldn't be wrong. The government wouldn't cover that up. I mean, the government wouldn't lie to the people. That's the problem. People have forgotten what our founding father said, and that was that men are basically corrupt. And as Jefferson said, Thomas Jefferson, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down from mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And unfortunately, we've forgotten that our founding fathers didn't trust government. They didn't trust men with power because they knew that power would be misused. And that's why they set up a system of checks and balances and limited government, which is the basis of our liberty.
Well, unfortunately, that limited government hasn't been able to govern itself lately.
Yeah, well, that's the problem we have. But, I'm guardedly optimistic. We at least have access to people through the miracle of the Internet and shortwave and of course, this little network we have and other people doing the same thing. And Jane is going to be out there on the USA radio network. They've got a lot more coverage than we do. Jane, are you going to be covering this on your programs? Jane?
Excuse me, say again?
Are you going to be covering this trial on your radio programs?
We certainly are, Dr. Monteith.
No, I was just talking about, how there are lots of people out there getting the truth out, and I think more and more people know that something is wrong. It's just, how can we get them to see, put the whole picture together?
Well, it's a very complicated picture, and people do not want to accept the fact that their government, which is their security, can be involved in something like this.
Well, I'm sure the German people didn't want to believe that they were taking the Jews to the concentration camps and gassing them either, but the reality was it's exactly what happened.
Well, I just hope we don't have to find out the hard way.
Commander, I want you to know, Lieutenant Commander, I don't know if you remember, we had dinner one time at a CNP meeting.
Yes, sir, I do.
You do? Okay. Well, it's a small world. It's been a real pleasure having you on with us, and I do hope that you'll be able to come on with us again. And Jane, I hope we can get you on again in one of our other programs to bring this out, because it is so important the American people understand what this is really all about and what's happening to America.
Anytime, Dr. Monteith, it's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to chat with you for a few minutes, and we, both Jack and I, really appreciate the excellent job you're doing in educating America.
Well, it's all I can do. I'm too old to do anything else, but God's given me a microphone and the ability to do it. Lieutenant Commander Daly, what's your parting thought for our listeners today?
Well, the politicians and the media say that the Cold War is over. Technically, that may or may not be true. Philosophically, the old Soviet Union, the new Russian government, still sees the United States as a threat. The Russian government is still a threat to us, despite Bill Clinton's comments to the contrary. Missiles are still pointed at our homeland. Our children are still vulnerable. The Russians are willing to sell anything for a dollar to anyone, including terrorists and states of terrorism. This is not the safe world that the politicians lead us to believe.
How can we support what you're doing? Jane, is there a telephone number people could...
Absolutely. It's 888-JW-ETHIC, 888-JW-ETHIC.
All right. That's...
And I would say that if you are as outraged about this as I obviously am, having sat through this trial for the last 2 weeks, and needless to say, we would really appreciate your support. This trial to date has cost us about $1 million, and we're just supported by, you know, average Americans. So I would say please support us in this effort. Give whatever you can. And also, I would covet your prayers and your letters of encouragement to Jack and Wendy Daly. You know, it would have been an easy thing for them to just say, well, you know, it's not worth it. And I think if it hadn't been for the larger issue of the security threat to this country, that Jack might have considered and weighed the cost and said it's just not worth the fight.
Well, God bless you both for doing what you're doing, and thank you so much for being with us.
Yes,
you're
thank
so
you.
Welcome.
Bye-bye, and God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to remind you that we are going to have a rally. It's going to be at the Aptos Seascape, and it's going to be on the... 23rd of November, that's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. That's at the Aptos Seascape, and we hope that you'll be there. It's going to be all day long. Doors are opening at 8, program begins at 8:45. And we want to talk about preparation because we're in for some very, very difficult times. We're going into a major war. There's going to be civilian disturbances at home. There are going to be lots of things, and you better know what lies ahead. We hope that you'll want to come and bring your friends. That's the 23rd of November, all day long, be luncheon. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And so until Monday, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.